Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
This is starting to know everybody's asking an update with Diggs. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL, so he'll be out for the year. Really hurt. Hurts our team to hear that news, and he's been such an important part to our team, and it's everything that he bought, not only on the field, but off the field, the energy, the leader, like the way he worked every single day. He brought a lot to our team, and we have to pick up the slack. A lot of guys have to step up, pick up the slack, but definitely praying for him to have a speedy, successful recovery. It's definitely a blow to us.
Yeah, it stinks. Stephon Diggs out for the season. D'Amico Ryan's making that announcement yesterday at his press conference. Team will be traveling today. They play tomorrow night. 7:15 kickoff, 4:15 Texans countdown with me and with Seth. D'Amico went on to say in the press conference, Seth, like, hey, we like our guys. You know, guys need to pick up the slack, but we like our guys, which is what he should be saying. Now, that said, I think the Texans should absolutely be looking for receiver help if they can get it on the trade market. We know next Tuesday afternoon is a trade deadline. I think there's a few things they should be looking for. It's really weird how things have kind of shifted over the last couple weeks, because when they had all those defensive injuries, it's like, oh, Lassiter's out. You got to go find yourself a corner. And so you demanded Nick Caserio find secondary help on behalf of the Texan fans a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. And he hasn't done it yet.
He hasn't done it yet.
I'm not as right now. I mean, if I had to choose between a guard and a cornerback, I would still take a guard. I wish, talk about an unfortunate timing for a concussion for Patterson. Because I think Patterson would have finished that game and maybe could have played tonight and cemented and felt – you could have felt better about perhaps the entire offensive line and the upside of Patterson. But that's not the way it's worked out. The trade deadline comes between whenever Patterson comes back.
And this is the second straight year that – Jared Patterson kind of had the rug pulled out from under him, because he was the starting center last year. He would have been the starting center all season long last year if he didn't go out with the, I think it was a knee that he ultimately Michael Dieter takes over. But for what it's worth, and we'll get into the names that I picked out for possible trades. I want to bounce these off of you, Seth. But the depth chart on the Texans website, updated by Texans PR on Tuesday, October the 29th, Tuesday was the 29th, Texans PR. As of Tuesday, Kenyon Green is still listed as the starter on the depth chart. So there's that.
I think Caserio saying that it's a lazy narrative that the offensive line is an issue when one of their starting offensive linemen was benched in the game on Sunday. D'Amico Ryan's saying that they feel good about Kenyon and they won six games with Kenyon at left guard. I think part of that is them giving support to Kenyon, and then maybe a little of it is just old school gamesmanship of not letting the opponent know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
That they've got plans potentially to either start Kendrick Green or to move Tytus Howard down to guard and have Blake Fisher start at tackle. Who knows?
Yeah, the depth chart on the website is not a binding contract by any means.
No.
They're not married to that.
Yeah.
As far as trades go, and I think this is valid regardless of what position you're looking at, but I was kind of going through the standings yesterday and kind of drawing the line of teams that, and this may change depending on what the outcomes are on Sunday of some of these games over the weekend. You know, there may be a 3-5 team that gets the doors blown off them, and all of a sudden they go, well, we're 3-6 now halfway through the season. We're a seller. But I think the teams that, if you were to call them today and would be sellers right now, Tennessee and Jacksonville, but I don't think they're taking the Texans' calls, probably. New England, Las Vegas, Cleveland, these are all teams that have been selling already. I think the Jets are about to be pushed to the brink of surefire seller. If they're not already, the Texans can push them over the top, which is relevant because I think there's a receiver on their team that could be maybe somebody the Texans would look at. Carolina, the Giants, and the Saints, which is crazy. The Saints were 2-0 and they were the toast of the league 2 weeks into the season. They're 2-6 now, and they're a mess.
Yeah. The The Jets one is interesting because we might get a look up close and personal at some of the players that you might want. Maybe they bring them on the plane home with them. Maybe they just say, "Hey, grab your things, come back to Houston.
Yeah.
We'll send for your belongings."
It'd be like when the Astros traded for Christian Vasquez while the Red Sox were in town, and they're like, "Just grab your stuff and come over to this clubhouse over here." They literally traded for him while he was here.
Who's the biggest realistic name that the Jets might trade away? One of their offensive linemen, maybe, perhaps?
Mike Williams, I think, is a name a lot of people are focused on. The wide receiver that they signed in the offseason.
Dude, I've had so many disappointing Mike Williams receivers in my life that I can't keep track of them anymore.
That's true.
Been like 19 Mike Williams receiver in the NFL in the last two decades.
Fair. Yeah. The wide receiver possibilities on that group of teams that I kind of threw into a list here. Adam Thielen from Carolina, although he's been banged up this year, he's coming back from a hamstring injury. And I admit, I did some looking at salaries and things like that. Darius Slayton on the Giants. The one that's intriguing but would probably cost you a high pick is Chris Olave from the New Orleans Saints, who's a former college teammate of C.J. Stroud.
Honestly, when I sit back and try to look at things from 35,000 feet, I have zero real gnawing need for them to go out and trade for a wide receiver, partly because we've just seen what I was warning about previously, which was that, hey, it's not as simple as just having three really good receivers out there and then everything falls into place. Sometimes it can make things a little bit harder in some respects. There's more glaring positions and weaknesses than, as long as Nico Collins is back, than wide receiver right now. And frankly, that includes on the offense, just in general, getting the tight ends and running backs more involved. And that's on CJ Stroud as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, none of the guys, Olave is a different story because he's a former first round pick that's still on a rookie contract. These other guys I'm naming are all guys who are, been around 5 or 6 years. They're on reasonable deals. None of them are on a Diggs level trade kind of thing. What makes me, like, you look at what Deontay Johnson went for the Ravens, it was nothing. Like, it was him and a sixth for a fifth. DeAndre Hopkins goes to the Chiefs for a conditional fourth. Even Davante Adams, for who he is, it was not a expensive deal draft capital wise. And so I'm thinking, like, these guys, if it's a day three pick and you can get Kendrick Bourne from the Patriots, because as we're finding out, injuries happen. You know, I just like Nico's got a hamstring, you know, and he's going to come back, but he's Nico. He gets hurt. Diggs is done, so he's not walking through that door. Tank Dell didn't finish the season last year. I just don't want to go into the postseason with my three receivers being Robert Woods, Xavier Hutchinson, and John Metchie. I'm talking about
Nico Collins plus those guys, which is what you had last year. I understand exactly what you're saying. But there's also the part of me that's like, yeah, and that could happen to any other position group as well.
Sure.
You have your starting cornerback gets injured. It would be really nice to have an extra cornerback. I mean, it's more likely between Derek Stingley and Lassiter, one of whom's already missed time this year. The other has yet to finish a complete NFL season, and Derek Stingley. I fear that more than I fear going into a game with only Nico Collins or only Tank Dell or whomever else, I suppose. Or at least it's just as realistic. And as far as trading for a wide receiver, yeah, they trade Davante Adams. He tries to get into a new scheme with a quarterback with whom he has a great relationship already. And he had, against the Steelers, he had 3 receptions for 30 yards. Against the Patriots, he had 4 receptions for 54 yards.
Sure.
It's not immediately lightning in a bottle because you bring a new guy in.
No. And again, I'm talking more about depth pieces here at wide receiver. Like the two that I didn't get to that I would say keep an eye on if you're Texan fans just because of prior relationships, Jakobi Meyers on the Raiders. Nick Caserio was in the building in New England when they drafted him. And Kendrick Bourne with the Patriots actually has history with D'Amico Ryans. He started his career in San Francisco.
But that's where and that's the point I'm making about Davante Adams, though, is that you're talking about depth pieces.
Yeah.
Like, even a marquee guy like Davante Adams doesn't step in and be an immediate elixir in the middle of the season.
Right.
So for depth pieces, Xavier Hutchinson, Robert Woods, and John Metchie are fine for me.
Yeah,
I'm cool with that. Yeah, you have to worry about whether both Tank Dell and Nico Collins are going
to
stay healthy.
Yeah, I have a ceiling on what I would pay for these guys. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a 6-round pick, I would trade for Kendrick Bourne. You know, like I would do that. I'm with you on the need for a guard. you paint a very scary picture in the secondary that I had not thought about in going through this exercise of Stingley's injury history and Lassiter's injury history. He's got one now. You know, yeah. he's got one now. All right, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Someone's texting in Tyler Boyd. He's on the Titans. The Titans and the Jags are not trading with the Houston Texans. That's just how it goes. That is the 5-Hour Energy fan line.
I thought so little about the Titans. Oh, sorry, 5-Hour Energy.
Yeah,
here.
That's okay.
Go ahead, finish your 5-Hour Energy.
No, just that's a 5-Hour Energy fan line.
I'm going to slug one down, too.
How'd you get that?
I found one. Somehow I found a gas station that had one. Oh. How'd you get that?
Right there.
I'll tell you what, the power of suggestion. The 5-Hour Energy, you've been talking about it now, and I'm like, I need a 5-Hour Energy.
Yeah, man.
The other thing I did the other day that I hadn't done in a long time, had a quarter pounder with cheese. You know why? Because they'd been in the news. For what reason, Seth? Oh, nothing good at all.
No.
But in my mind, I started thinking like, oh, yeah, a quarter pounder with cheese.
Sounds awfully good.
Succulent, juicy beef type substance going down my gullet. Yes.
I forget exactly why it's in my brain right now. How was it?
Oh, no, I knew exactly. It was because of the E. coli. Yeah. I did the math. That's like 100 people out of, 150 million American
analytics.
McDonald's eaters. I'm good to go.
Analytics.